Welcome to VFN Radio. We are here on this Valentine's Day, Thursday, to encourage you, to wish you a happy Valentine's Day and tell you the Lord loves you. Yes, I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today to encourage you on this Valentine's Day is John Ramos.
Hello.
Whoa. And also today's stand-in producer, the one, the only, Chris Hamilton.
Hello.
Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. Today we're going to be talking about Valentine's Day. Well, we give a shout out to my Valentine. Happy Valentine's Day to my wife, Donna, and to my two daughters and daughters-in-law. For those, they're down south, but I'm just kind of went there, you know what I'm saying? To Amber and to Megan and to Nikki. Happy Valentine's to the ladies. Today we're going to be talking about getting God's attention. Did you know that actually right now in Europe they're eating horse meat that is supposed to have been beef? Horse meat, donkey meat, and all those things going on. It's like, my goodness, we'll be talking about that. Also, the glory of God. We talked about, we were going to be sharing what it feels like to be in the glory of God, and we just kind of got carried away the other day. We didn't get a chance to talk about that. We're going to talk about that as well. Also, a couple of words from the scriptures about God is into plea bargains. God is into plea bargains. We're going to be talking about that. And I got a big question we want to be able to ponder today. Did the Secretary of State, John Kerry, get $23 billion to take the job as Secretary of State? We'll be talking about that today. We don't know. We're going to talk about it. Also, there's an Android heading our way. There's an Android heading our way. It'll be heading our way tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's the size of half of a football field. Stay tuned. You'll hear more about that. And the U.S. citizenship test. So many wonderful things we're going to be talking about. Give a shout out also to everybody up in the Bronx. Hoorah, Bronx. Give a shout out to Texas today. Give a shout out to Pittsburgh. We're going to be talking about Pennsylvania today. Has to do with the Secretary of Defense and ketchup. I'd like to have ketchup for $23 billion, please. And so much more. Give a shout out to Denver. It's awesome what God is doing in Denver. And so many wonderful. Give a shout out to those on the Emerald Coast. Listen, there's hope. There's hope. Good things are coming to the Emerald Coast. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
And Chris Hamilton. Here we are right now. It is Thursday. Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day. Can you believe it? Already? I mean, it's amazing.
Already.
Yeah, I was talking to my Valentine.
You were?
Yeah, we were having a talk when you remember when you were shoveling snow and we were on the island with the sandy beaches and all that?
Yeah.
We went straight from that picture you saw.
That moment. I'm trying not to.
Hey, you know. We won't.
And no so, offer to help, no compassion.
Dude, that's a long ways to go to help shovel snow. Isaiah and Elijah were doing so good. So anyway, from that scene that you saw sitting by the sailboats on the piers by the water in the bay and all that, we moved from there to Adirondack chairs right on the edge of the water, and we just kicked back in the sun, and just the beams of the rays were just hitting us, and it was just so warm, and the place was called something. I forget what it's called, like Shaggy or something like that. I don't know what it is. Yeah, we've never been there before ever, but you know, I have a new place called Shaggy. I love. Do you know where Adirondack chairs were actually created?
Where?
In New York, in Adirondack, New York.
Were they really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It looks comfortable.
I know you think they were actually invented on the water or something, you know, but it is the water. But it was up in upstate New York where they built those chairs where the wealthy folks used to go and have their vacations, and they had to sit back in their Adirondack. I can't even say it. Can you say it?
Adirondacks. I don't know. Can't say it.
The Lazy Boy lounge chair that goes outside. Anyway, it was just so relaxing. It was just so peaceful, and I just thank God for his creation. You know, when you think about Romans chapter 1, He tells us that men are without excuse. When you look at creation and all the things that God has made, it, you just go, wow. Because he says he's understood. You can understand God by what he made. And when you look at the heavens and the stars and the sun, and you look at the waters and the oceans and the gulfs, and you look at all these things, and it's like, whoa, God, you're just awesome. Totally awesome. When you look at families and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and how this thing has kept going since the garden, you know, and even went down to just eight for a momentary moment there when the flood came. And it started again because family's so powerful, you know, what God creates. And you can understand spiritual things by looking at natural things. And it's just so exciting to know how awesome God is and just reminds you of the goodness of God. So this Valentine's Day, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to look around and just love God and see the things that he's created. And remember this, the greatest way to love God is to love your fellow man, to love your brothers and your sisters, and even to love your enemies. You know, just demonstrate love. We're going to be talking today that God is more into peace and unity than he is into justice. personal justice I'm talking about. I mean, he will let you suffer great loss and never balance the books just so, you know, whatever. At the end of that, you can just go, you know, I forgive and let's just get along and let's just let God
be
God.
Move forward.
And, you know, and it's just amazing. We'll be talking about that. But Valentine's Day.
Yes, Valentine's Day. Shout out to my Valentine, my wife, Teresa. Oh, my goodness. You know, did you know? I mean, yeah,
I don't know yet. Did I know what?
Valentine's Day today.
What?
But did you know? I got some interesting statistics here to share with you.
Oh, you got stats on Valentine? Stat man. I think we're going to put a big S on your shirt. Go ahead.
From the National Retail Federation.
Oh, they're definitely the serious source,
yeah,
right?
They got the numbers here. Yeah. They say 59% of people will be celebrating Valentine's this year. And guess how much money is going to be spent? This is like dollars today. Mm-hmm. Dollars, American, not pesos, but American pesos. Dollars
right.
are going to be spent today.
Today?
On Valentine's Day. Well, let's say today or on this holiday. 2013, 10.4. Now, this is just on significant others and spouses. $10.4 billion.
$10.4 billion.
$1 billion. That's with a B.
Oh my goodness!
Now that's up from last year, which was 10.2. They're spending. This is not just significant others. Now on their family members, they're going to be spending $3.77 billion. On your children and on your parents. So we're up now almost $14 billion just with parents, children, and significant other and spouses. And you're not going to believe this.
What?
On pets.
Yeah.
Pets. What? Pets.
I would. I was totally disgusted with that until I got Max.
So you got Max. Oh, he needs that bone. He needs $850 million. $850 million.
But you know, if you read the word of God and you read the laws, you know, that was given to Moses, how we treat our animals, it's very, very important how we treat the animals. We treat people better than animals, but we should definitely treat our animals well. He talks about that.
Yes, we should. Don't treat them wrong. That's why I love my dog, Teresa. Private joke.
Oh, is it?
Oh, Diesel.
Oh, is it?
It smells good. So think about it. All this money being spent on Valentine's Day, and just to share, because this is a day that, you know, we like to share and express love. It's a holiday that's God, I don't know how long it's been going on, really, but it's a way just to.
It's been going on.
There, you know, that's a good answer.
I gotta tell you everything.
That's so good of you. Okay. But it's a great way just to share and tell someone that you love them, and there's so much cost and money sometimes expressing all that. But when I think about a price that was paid to show love. I think about the ultimate price that Jesus paid. I mean, Jesus loves you, loves me so much that he was willing to go to the cross. He was willing to pay the ultimate price, a price that can't even be figured and counted. I mean, it's unfathomable. The price that the Lord paid, and he gave up his own life. John tells us that greater love has no man than to lay his life down for his friend. And Jesus demonstrated that. I think about Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. It's one of the reasons that I named my son this name. I just love this. But this Isaiah 52:14 tells us about the graphic depiction of what happened to the Lord's body. I mean, Isaiah 52 says that just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured and beyond that of any man, and his body was marred beyond human likeness. I mean, Jesus went and died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to pay that price ourselves. He died for our sins. He died so that we won't have to go to hell and the grave. He died the punishment that was due us. And let me tell you, we were due a serious punishment, and we still are, unless we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Listen, you know, God's hammer and God's judgment can fall on you or it can fall on the cross. The price has already been paid, and that's how much Jesus loves us. Mm. He was willing to lay down his deity, his godness, if you will, and walk on this earth as a man to be the perfect sinless lamb, the ultimate sacrifice. And I just think about the Lord's love today. I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much. We should be so appreciative today that his love not only, you know, saves us from the hell and the grave, but continues to love us right now, to encourage us and to give us the grace that we need every single day. I want to tell you that today, as you're sharing love with others and you're texting and you're sending pictures and flowers and all these different things that people do today, think about how much the Lord loves you. Think how much God paid the ultimate price for your love. And if you don't know him today, we're thinking about, you know, what would Jesus say? Jesus said, be my Valentine. I love you. Accept me today as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you, the Bible says that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he'll never, never, never leave you. Accept Jesus' love today.
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you for that. I'll tell you what, I'm thinking about what's happening over in Europe over there, and I can't believe it, but they were eating meat like in their spaghetti products that they were buying from their stores and all this, and they were thinking, of course, it's beef in the spaghetti and beef in these different areas, but they found out that it was horse meat and donkey meat being sold as beef. Listen to CBN News reporting on this.
Well, here's a bizarre story. Horse meat is at the heart of a food scandal rocking Europe. The Romanian government says it exported more than 6,000 tons of horse, mule, and donkey meat last year. Ooh. And that it was correctly labeled when they sent it to other European countries. But once it hit the market in those countries, it was sold as beef. John Waggy reports.
The meat was processed at 35 different Romanian plants like this one in the town of Botoșani. Romanian officials say the horse and donkey meat was correctly labeled and sold to buyers in 8 European countries. Iulian Cazacut, the general manager of the Dolicom Romanian plant, says he can guarantee that all the products his company puts on the market are certified from the point of view of quality and origin, 100%. But somewhere along the line, the horse and donkey meat was labeled as beef. The British grocery chain Tesco says tests showed that some samples of their frozen spaghetti contain more than 60% horse meat.
Now, this is completely unacceptable. That's why it's right that the Secretary of State has led these meetings with retailers and producers. We've agreed a tougher inspection regime. We've asked hospitals and schools and prisons to check with their suppliers that they are testing their products.
Romania may not be the only source of the horse meat. British food safety authorities raided a slaughterhouse in northern England and a meat processing plant in Wales this week, suspected of selling horse meat used in burgers and kebabs. It's a violation of the law that all European governments are trying to get a handle on.
It is completely unacceptable that anybody should be involved in the production or the sale of a processed beef product, which includes horse.
And the public reaction?
I'm disgusted. I think it's really bad. I don't understand how they can allow it.
It's more immoral, I think, as much as anything else. They're selling it off to be something it isn't.
One British official says beef products aren't the only meat that may be mislabeled.
If I was a retailer, I'd be looking quite carefully at my lamb products as well.
The meat scandal is now clearly on the radar screen of European officials, but until they track down the source of the faulty labeling, the watchword seems to be, let the diner beware. John Waggy, CBN News.
That's amazing. You know, you just assume when you go to the store, you're going to get things. But, you know, what tells us, though, in the context, you know, we have our culture differences and all that, but when you travel around the world, you know, what we think is a reasonable meal or what we enjoy, others enjoy something different, totally different. It's amazing.
So true.
And so what's the difference between, you know, our what we have as a pets and different things like that that we enjoy and it's true. I mean, you know, you can say what you want to, you know, when you go to China, when you go to Middle Eastern countries and all that, it's you know, things we just get in our mind. Mm-hmm. But if you ever had a cow, you know, you raised a cow, those big old eyes, those innocent looking eyes, and you name your cow and everything like that, you know, you watch them stare at the gate, you know, right. And you're just thinking, no, not Elsie. Oh my goodness, you're going to take Elsie down, you know? And, but it is, you know, obviously the big thing is that if it says it's beef, it should be beef.
It should be beef. Hello.
And if it's donkey, it should be labeled as donkey. And if it's horse, it should be labeled as horse. And they said it was labeled as what it was supposed to be. But when it got to the suppliers, they began to change it because they put it in things. Mm. And so, you know,
I like labels. I like if they work. I like labels.
She says it's a bit immoral. It's a bit immoral to have donkey meat in your spaghetti, however they say that there. Well, you know, Chris Kyle was laid to rest this week.
Yes.
A former SEAL, one of the most celebrated marksmen ever in our military. And it was just so sad to see that, you know, as I was watching and just his wife and all that was going on, I was just, you know, how the mighty has fallen, you know, how the mighty has fallen. And, you know, and I'm going to talk about that, but I want you to hear firsthand right there during the services as CBN News reports. We'll be right back.
Hundreds lined the highways in Texas Tuesday to pay their final respects to former Navy SEAL Chris Kyle. In one of the largest funeral processions Texas has ever seen, a 200-car procession drove from the Kyle's home in Midlothian to the Texas State Cemetery in Austin. The 38-year-old was a best-selling author and was considered the most lethal sniper in American military history. A memorial service was held Monday at Cowboy Stadium in Dallas.
I stand before you, a broken woman, but I am now and always will be the wife of a man who is a warrior both on and off the battlefield.
Iraq War veteran Eddie Ray Ralph has been charged in the killings of Kyle and his friend Chad Littlefield at a North Texas gun range.
Oh, how the mighty has fallen. Oh, how those who stood boldly for us when we went about our day, so that we could. Oh, how the mighty has fallen. Feared by armies of our adversaries, but taken down by a brother, a fellow fighter, who he embraced in hopes that once more he would fight for one of us, but instead betrayed. As with Cain and Abel, his blood still cries out today. He falls at his brother's side. Chris, Kyle, we remember you. We'll be right back.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV. Or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me is John and Chris as we're in the first hour of our program. My goodness, when I think about Chris Kyle and what took place, just my heart just, it's just amazing, you know, and it just reminds me of, you know, Cain and Abel, the innocence of Abel, but yet his blood still cries. I really believe that is a true situation. A true situation that's going on there. We were talking about the glory of God and, you know, if you've never experienced the presence and the glory of God, of course, the glory of God is multidimensional when you talk about it and think about it. But when you get answered prayer, when God makes himself known to you, when, mm-hmm. when you see provision, when you see God, you know, touch somebody you've been praying for. I mean, this is the glory of God. I mean, it's just the manifestation of his awesomeness. But the tangible presence of the glory of God, it's we're designed for this. We're built for the glory of God. Revelation talks about the river of God that flows from the throne of God. And in it, you know, it's just life forevermore. And it's surrounded by the trees that its leaves are healing for the nations. And the presence of God, understand this, that if you've never been in the presence of God, in the tangible, physical presence of the Lord, you may have a different mindset. But understand this. Trust me. Hmm. Trust me. You were designed. Now, sin wasn't designed for the presence of God. But the cross was designed to allow us to be in the glory of God. The cross was designed by God so we can actually deal with the sin issue at the cross of Jesus Christ and receive his forgiveness so that we can boldly enter into his glory. And there's three things I think about when I think about the glory of God. One is heaven is going to be awesome. Hmm. You know, just being in his presence forever. And there's so much darkness and sin and just, you know, schemes going on in this world that we're in right now, this dark world of Satan is trying everything he can. But I think of three words. I think of the glory of God. I think of weighty. I think of a thick, the word thick. Mm-hmm. And I think of the word charged. And when I think of weighty, I remember at the Brownsville Revival, when God began to pour himself out. Well, prior to that, you know, I've never experienced what I was about to experience before, but God spoke to me and showed me in a dream of what it was going to be like. I mean, he showed me where I literally fell under the power of God and I was just overtaken by his presence. And I mean, I was more like, what meanest thou this? Cause I'd never had the experience, but I just was pondering that in my heart. And of course, suddenly God just begins to pour himself out on Father's Day of 95. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since then, you know, God's glory has just been awesome. And, you know, that's been since 1995.
Wow.
And, think about, I remember I was sitting in a chair by the, man who was running a soundboard, and there was a service going on and people had come from all around to be able to experience God, you know, the refreshing of the Lord, the awesomeness of God. And at Steve Hill, the evangelist was, preaching a message of repentance. By the way, if that is the message, repentance is the message. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting in this chair upright, in a chair, and it just became real heavy. I mean, it's like every part of me was being pressed down from above me, pushing me down. Of course, I'm in a chair, so I'm like, there's nowhere to go. And it was just pushing on my head and my shoulders, and every part of me was just pressing like a gravitational pull, just cranked up, and I was like experiencing 5 G's, you know, 5 glories. God, just like 5 G's. And it was just pressing me, and I was thinking, you know, you're thinking, because it doesn't hurt, but you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, God's glory is just overtaking. What do I, you know, and also I was thinking, you know, if I was on the floor, this would be so, you know, because I'm thinking, just in my mind, I'm like, I could be rescued if somebody could just knock me out of this chair and I could hit the floor. And somehow in the midst of that, the weightiness of God just literally took me out of that chair and just pressed me down in an awesome way. So it's not like flesh. It's just, it's the awesomeness of God's spirit pressing against your spirit, and the weightiness. It's like a blanket. It's like a warm, heavy. It's like weighty. A glory of God. And it's just an awesome thing. I'll never forget that. But it took me from sitting upright and just enjoying what God was doing to all of a sudden being overtaken, to all I could do was try to do everything I can just to sit up. And then finally my relief was to be on the floor somehow. And all of a sudden God just kind of just put me in like a vacuum chamber of his precious, heavy glory. And I think of the word weighty.
Yeah. You know, I remember those same experiences. It was beautiful. Up to that point, I've never experienced the glory of God at all. I had no grid for it, but I could literally sense that what was happening in the invisible realm was definitely affecting the physical realm in my body, because I just felt his presence was, and we say heavy, I it wasn't like it hurt, but the best way that I could describe the weightiness for me was like when you go to a dentist and they put that mat on you and they give you an x-ray in your teeth.
Like a thick mat. Yes.
Pressing up against you, and it's heavy, but it's not hurting you, but you feel something's definitely on you.
It's like God is up against me now.
Yeah.
I'm busy right now.
But remember that his presence, glory, just falling on me to the point where I'm standing and worshiping, and I just felt like my shoulders shrinking and going down, and I'm like, okay, I'm feeling this. And the only proper response for me at that point is like, okay, I will lay on the ground. I will get as low as I will melt into the
carpet. Can't get no lower than that.
Yeah. I mean, and you're prostrate before the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing. You know what? The word says he'll take us from glory to glory. And it's amazing how so many times this may have happened to you. It was my journey for a part of my life when I first came to God. Was you want to change so bad. You want to things to happen in your life. And you say, okay, God, I just want to get this. And you start trying to do it on your own. And you know what? You couldn't even save yourself. I couldn't save myself. I needed a savior. And it was amazing that what I couldn't do on my own, what just a few moments in his presence, it was like God was doing heart surgery every time I was laid out under the glory. Yeah. I mean, he was just changing things on the inside of me. And yeah. I'd get up and I just knew things were different.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I knew things were different.
Yeah.
And it manifested in my life. There was fruit that it was just different now. Things that I had struggled with, things that I was trying to fix, I couldn't fix. But in his glory, things just fell off. And I was just like, God, you know, and from that time till now, I mean, there's moments, there's waves, but there's a greater glory coming. Let me tell you,
that's the reason why we're talking about it. Because remember, we're talking the other day about what God showed us during a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting, that another outpouring is about to come in a powerful way. Now, you have different where individuals get touched, 10 or 12 people get touched or whatever, but we're talking about that a mass amount of people get touched in America, possibly the world. And that's why we're talking about this. And you can go back and probably, if you're listening to the highlight on the torch, there should be a related link here to connect you to what we'll share about the 7 day time of fasting and prayer. We wanted to be able to whet your appetite and raise your expectations about what God's going to do. Understand this. It doesn't matter what you come to the table with, you know, it when you get there, I don't care what it is, it can't stand in God's presence. And when His glory envelops you, it just all becomes small. It all becomes irrelevant. And things you thought could never happen just begin to happen. And the next thing I think about after weightiness, and there's just tons of stories like that, is thickness, like thick, not thin, but thick. I remember many times when all of a sudden God's presence would begin to get so thick. And this is what He showed us in our time of prayer and fasting, that it was so thick. But imagine standing in a river. Imagine standing in a river, and it's about ankle deep, maybe, or about knee deep, maybe a little bit less than that. And when you stand still, the current is coming against the water, is coming against your legs, and as it's parting way, and then it continues to go down the river, a moving river. But yet it's the water, in the sense, is thick because it's a substance. Now imagine there is no water river, but there's a glory river, and you're standing up, and the thickness of God's glory is passing through at different levels. And just imagine if it's about around your knees, and you're feeling this thick glory of God just kind of moving. There's a river of God teeming with life. You know, this is the river of God coming from the throne of God. It's all you can just describe it. And it's charged. It's electrically charged. It's just like everything it's supposed to be. Is, and it's like everything about you comes alive in the glory of God. It's like everything fires right. You know what I'm saying? All the parts and pieces. But at the same time, because of the power of this river, your body doesn't function right. So say that it's from your knees, it's from your knees down, but the rest, it's not from your knees up. So from your knees down, all of a sudden your joints and everything, and your ankles and your knees start getting like rubber. It's just like everything turns into rubber and it just doesn't function. It's like, help me, you know, you're trying to walk and you're like, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not suffering from mild retardation or anything right here. I'm just trying to get, I'm going down.
I'm not under the influence. I'm not stumbling.
Right, right. These men are not drunk as you suppose, right?
Exactly.
And so then in the context of that when you obviously can't stand much longer, and that's one of the things God was showing us, that the glory is going to be so thick that you're trying to walk in, and you're going to have assistance just to be able to get to somewhere. And it's like, see, what happens is that's what we need. We need to be refreshed. We need it. There's a time of refreshing when repentance comes. And that time of refreshing, we need that to be able to move on. We need God to touch us as a people, as His church. And the world will flock to where His glory is. Yes, the glory of God, hope of the world is Christ in us. The hope of glory is Christ in us. But understand, when our faith ignites that glory that's in us, God's glory comes down in a powerful way from heaven. Those two encounter each other, and it's a powerful thing. And so the thickness of God's glory. And finally, that I think of just electrical charge. Just imagine just the whole atmosphere filled with static electricity, but holy glory static. And it's like for some reason, all the things that Jesus tells us to do, everybody just starts doing it. It doesn't automatically. It's like people are freed up, and you have people loving on each other and just greeting each other, and they're just so happy and they're so free. And it's like all the oppression of the adversary, it cannot even stand in that kind of environment. And it's just a powerful, powerful thing. You see, where in a short period of time, the world can be touched in a powerful way. you know, by the glory of God. And he's shown us this is what is about to take place on the earth. It's going to be the best of times, and it's going to be the worst of times. The best of times for those who are in love with God, and the worst of times for those who are in love with the world. But the whole purpose of that worst of time is to motivate the lovers of the world to become lovers of God, because God loves them. So I want to encourage you that it doesn't matter what you're thinking. God is not confined to your own mind. He's outside of your mind. I like what David Hoge would say, because he would just be a wild man. He would say, listen, you know, I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of your mind. I'm out of your mind. And think about it. Quite often, that's exactly what is happening. And when God begins to move, you just have to let him do what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And when he just begins to move, and I want to encourage you, go after God. Begin to believe God. Begin to just say, you know what, I'm going to deal with the sin in my life. I'm going to deal with the sin in my life. And I'm going to say, God, I want to deal with the sin in my life. I want this out of my life. I don't want it anymore. And with that, we just say, you know what? God, take it all out, every bit of it out. Whether it's big sin, small sin, little sin, every bit of the sin out of my life. And you'll be surprised, you know, with God's grace, that is possible. You begin to walk, and anything happens in your life, you deal with it at that moment. You don't let it linger, and you don't let it stay. And it creates an environment for God to manifest his glory in a powerful way. Many, many powerful outpourings and move of God started with people beginning to just confess their sins and say, you know what? You know, I've sinned, God. God, forgive me. This is what I've done against you. This is what I've done against others or whatever. And then God begins to move in a powerful, powerful way. So I just wanted to share with you, because we said we were going to share with you about the glory of God. And we didn't do that. And I know a lot of you probably were pretty, sad about that, but there it is. You've got it, the glory of God. So begin to believe God for that. We have wonderful testimonies of the power of God. I do want to share a word from the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, where, think about it, that was a time when God, think about it, God himself sat down and began to speak to us, began to speak to mankind. And we've been sharing on this Sermon on the Mount, and think about it. All this time, you know, men were hearing partially; they were hearing, you know, in part and knowing in part. But in the context of that, God now was here. We have Emmanuel was there. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived his life, sinless life, up to 30 years old. But he started his ministry, and he went into the wilderness, and he came out. And we've talked about it already. But then he sat down. And he began to talk in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 through 26. And what we find out, what he shares here with us, is that God is into plea bargains. God is into plea bargains, where quite often people say, well, they people shouldn't get mercy and they shouldn't get grace or anything like that. But listen, I mean, he just begins to talk about, and we'll talk more about that, what he just spoke about, you know, making things right, making sure that there's reconciliation between you and your brother, you and your sister, and anything that fights against reconciliation is fighting against what God would want to take place right there. God is real quick. But then he goes right into, in verse 25, Matthew 5, 25, he says, this is Jesus. Now, this is God in the flesh. He says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who has taken you to court. Do it while you still have him with you on the way. And he may hand you over to be judged, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you paid every last penny. I mean, this is, you think about it. Here's God, of all the things that God could have spoke about, he's speaking about that things happen. Things happen, and we need to be able to deal with them. And there's sometimes, no matter what, you know, things happen that you have to be able to work out. And we're going to talk more about those things in a moment and break them down, because God's talking about a plea deal here that we need to be able to plea with. We'll just talk more about it after this break. We'll be right back. Man, it's just, technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store, mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app. right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
You know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you really have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to vfnu.org. vfnu.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's first hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the first hour is John and Chris. We were just talking about God's into plea bargains. God's into plea bargains. And from Matthew chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, that of all the things that God could be telling us through his son, Jesus Christ, is that God's into plea bargains. He's into working things out. And it's just amazing. And he tells us, first thing he tells us is to settle matters quickly. He tells us things, and we're told in the Word of God, that don't let the sun go down on your anger and these different things, but be quick about resolving things. And you'll find out the longer you wait to resolve things, the more difficult it is to be able to resolve them. And sometimes you can't prevent the consequences. It doesn't mean that you could try 10,000 things to resolve something, and it doesn't always mean it's going to be resolved, but right. At least, you know, quickly begin to do it. But he says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. He's talking to his disciples here. He's talking to people who are his. And so a couple things we learn here. First of all, that you can have adversaries. You can have enemies. You can have adversaries. And also that courts are there to be able to help us work out matters. It's not sinful to be able to go to the courts. It's actually a God-prescribed type thing to bring a remedy to a situation, and especially in America, where the evidence could be presented and juries as your peers and that type of thing.
Sure.
But he says, listen, he says that you can be a believer and ran into some difficulties, and you need to be able to resolve them, he says, quickly, to settle them. And the word settle means to appoint, fix, or resolve definitely, conclusively, which means, you know, work it out. Work it out. You know, some people say, well, we're just going to go to court to do this or do this. So, you know, why not just try to work it out yourselves?
That's right.
You know, resolve it, you know, before, and do it quickly. As believers, though, you know, much of what's been taught in the faith paradigm is, you know, that we're led to believe that everything's just going to be perfect. So somehow God's just going to work this thing out. And they never get involved. You know, fathers never open their mouths to their children, right, and their wives, and wives never open their children to their husbands or their children, or believers never talk to each other. And there's so many things that need to be resolved in the body of Christ that nobody says anything. I mean, I remember in Azusa Street when the move of God was happening there in the outpouring, they thought they would lose their sanctification by just trying to resolve things. So they just locked the door and wouldn't let, you know, Charles Seymour in. They wouldn't talk to him. And all these things the enemy does to try to keep us, or they would just stand up while a man was preaching and basically stand him down, but they wouldn't say anything. And it's like, man, the devil could have a field day with stuff like that. And Jesus saying, listen, you know, conflicts can happen. Things can happen. You need to be able to resolve them, settle them quickly. Yeah, and Jesus plainly tells us that we need to be proactive in resolving these things. When somebody says, well, I don't know why you're trying to, and it's like, well, because Jesus says we need to try to resolve this. We need to try to, it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you know, let it be said that I did not sit back and not try to resolve it. Mm-hmm. You know, may the Lord have seen you trying to resolve it. So the first thing we're learning here is that we can love God, be a believer and a Christian, and run even into financial struggles. I mean, you can run, it's what he's saying right here. This is God's talking. He's like, okay, cool. Because some other things have been taught that says that, hey, if somebody's going through a financial struggle, obviously they are not pleasing to God. But this other person who has, you know, mega dollars and mega things and stuff, they're pleasing to God. And and the Lord says, nah. He says, a man's value is not measured by his abundance of things. It's not how God sees things. It's not true at all. And secondly, we find out that Jesus plainly tells us that we as Christians can have an adversary and somebody who has an upper hand on us, that God's not going to automatically say, hey, you know, just because you love me, it doesn't matter. People will never have an upper hand on you. In other words, that they can't do damage to you. And he's letting us know right now, they can do damage to you. Go back and look at everybody that's gone before you.
That's right. Catch a clue.
Yeah. And so get proactive. And finally, in this reality, he tells us that we're to quickly settle things. He even tells us that we should do this while we're with them, while we're still with them. So before you leave, you know, some stay right there and say, you know what? Something's uneasy in my spirit. Something's not right. And sometimes you're not able to do it. And sometimes you don't even know something happened until later on. You didn't get a chance to be able to resolve things. But God is into resolving these conflicts. He clearly says, you may have serious consequences, even jail, if you don't. It's like, God, I thought, you know, think about that. That is so not what's being taught, that you have to be proactively involved. If you don't settle this thing, it can have some serious consequences, but also lets us know that we can prevent serious consequences if we'll try to resolve things.
Amazing what happens when we just follow what Jesus says to do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We need to get back to these red letters, I tell you.
Oh my goodness. And you know, and which is really good, because our flawed nature, our humanness, our sin nature, he understands us, and he's explaining us to us. He said, these things are going to happen. And then he lets us know, you know, how we're supposed to do this. You know, we're supposed to, first of all, realize reality is not always relevant, but perspective always is. Let me say that again. Reality is not always relevant, but perspective always is. So many people are trying to continually say over and over again what reality is, but you don't understand the other person's responding by how they perceive that reality. And God's not really concerned. Realize, like a parent who has two children who are making noise, or, and they ask for peace and quiet around here, is not interested in one of them saying, well, he started it. They just want peace and quiet. They want their children to get along. Quite often, this is exactly the same way with God. This is what he's talking about. He wants to see us more interested in his will than our personal justice. Think about it. Our justice? No. On the contrary, he wants us to literally bite the bullet at times and experience injustices in our lives, where people take advantage of us. People have wrong perceptions of our motives and our whatever, and forgive our adversary and work something out with the adversary so that in the end, then we're all getting along.
Right.
And God's more interested in us walking together in unity despite, you know, what's taking place. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but if you're not making any effort, if you're not proactive in it, it's definitely more than likely not going to happen. And I truly believe, you know, the outpouring and what God's going to be doing, it'll what will come first is these type of proactive movements to be able to, in individuals' lives, to be able to reconcile and despite all the chaos, deal with the perspective and not reality, because the only reason people can act the way that we act is that we have to give people their perceptions. That's how they perceived it, and that's how the enemy told them it was happening, and that's how other people were told, and just work that out because God is more into his will than us getting personal justice. Yet, as he said, is that we could have made a financially bad decision too. I mean, you could have made a financial bad decision or lost your own job or a list of uncontrollable factors that have happened to you, leaving you in some situation where you were unable to pay back what you originally had planned to pay. It is so important that this understanding that this can happen to any of us, and we have to be very merciful. What do we do with this? We pray. We ask God, first of all, for wisdom on how to settle this matter. And my goal, God, is to settle it. My goal is not justice. You know, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, but our goal is not justice. Our goal is, Lord, that these things can be reconciled, that we can work this out. Pray for the one you owe or the one that perceives you owe. Pray for them, not against them. Understand, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and powers and principalities, Ephesians 6:12. And so you're not going to be able to win. This thing is not going to happen if you're praying against a person. You don't pray against people. You don't bind them. You don't call curses on them. All these things, weird things I've heard people do in the name of intercession. And it's like, dude, that you're praying against the body of Christ. Not going to be good. And you bless them. God loves people. He loves that person. And then we pray that the Lord would touch or soften their heart, that they'd be open to settling the matter quickly. Lord, touch their heart that they'd be open to settle this matter quickly. And sometimes settling the matter, God touches it in such a powerful way that it's total debt forgiveness. It's just like, boom, you owe nothing. Sometimes it's partial debt forgiveness and a new way to be able to pay things back or pay it back over a period of time, but things get worked out. No matter what, it's our part to be proactive. It's our part to be proactive in settling the matter quickly. God told us, get proactive in settling this matter quickly. And finally, if you are the one who is owed and somebody's trying to settle with you, remember, God can turn this table quickly and you could be the one in need of mercy.
Wow.
For whatever measure of mercy we show to others, God's going to show to us. Remember, God's more into being reconciled and the matter being settled quickly than personal justice. Why? Because justice would place both of you in confinement. Romans 3:12, he says, all have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So, you know, true justice means you both go down.
Yeah.
Secondly, James chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, he says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, and mercy triumphs over judgment. Be quick to say, you know what? This is a great time for me to be able to demonstrate mercy in somebody's life, which is not giving them, you know, what they deserve. And finally, you know, Jesus clearly says in Matthew 5:42, he says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Listen, God wants us to be proactive. He's telling us. He sat down with us on a mountain. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. We call it the Beatitudes. And he's telling us, listen, these things are going to happen. Turbulent times are going to happen. But understand this, that I want you to be proactive in settling the matter quickly and being reconciled to your brother. For God, our Father, is more into our love, mercy, and forgiveness towards each other than he is in us receiving personal justice. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.